You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our weekly podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. Well, once again, you might have noticed the somewhat unusual beginning to the show. The sounds you heard were the sounds of the sirens going off in Israel, warning the Israeli people again to take shelter. This is happening every day. All during the day, all during the night. Imagine trying to function in America if this is what you were hearing, that every time you were getting ready to send your kids to school or do something at your job or go out to run errands, suddenly you heard that siren and you were supposed to go to a shelter. But this is the daily reality of life in Israel for the Israeli people. By the way, our most loyal and best ally we have in the Middle East. The war that's going on there now, it's going into the third week. We know it began on October 7th with the massacre of 1,400 Israelis, almost all of them civilians. And yet, in spite of that, world opinion seems to be divided. The United Nations continues to attack Israel. Politicians here in the United States are doing the same thing. It's a difficult time in Israel, and quite frankly, it's a difficult time in the United States. We've been calling on a friend of JDFI. You may recognize the name by now, Tom Rose. Tom was the editor of the Jerusalem Post for a number of years. He also was a top foreign policy advisor in the Trump administration. Tom and I have been friends for years. When the massacre occurred on October 7th, the first thing that Tom decided to do was to go toward the danger. He managed to get a flight into Israel, where he is today providing volunteer services for the Israeli Defense Forces. And I wanted to bring Tom on again today just for a few minutes because I know how busy he is. But the Israeli government just did something really extraordinary. They brought hundreds of reporters in and gave them a detailed account of what the doctors were finding who were doing the autopsies on the 1,400 Israelis that were killed. And I want to tell you, my friends, the reason this was done is because there's a blizzard of lies out there. There are people saying that what happened on October 7th is being exaggerated and that it really wasn't as bad as Israel said. Well, I have to tell you, it was worse than Israel said. Quite frankly, things that were done on October 7th cannot be easily described over the airwaves because they are that disgusting and that evil. So I've asked Tom to just come on for a couple of minutes and share with us what he feels he can emotionally share with us about what those doctors found were done to Israeli civilians. Tom, welcome to the show and give us a little bit of an overview of this shocking news.
It was a slideshow, and it was presented by these forensic pathologists at the Forensic Medicine Center called Abu Kabir in Tel Aviv. It was a slideshow. The first slide was of a completely charred mass of flesh, which at first glance couldn't be seen as having belonged to a human being. It was only, and this was the next slide, only after a CT scan done by that institute that experts could see what it was. It was an image of two spinal cords, one belonging to a young adult, one belonging to a small child. They were bound together by wires. They were set on fire and burned alive. they had gunshot wounds to their hands, showing that they put their hands to their faces. They were burned alive in their home. There were many others that were slides that showed images of people burned alive in their homes. And we know they were burned alive in their homes because they found soot in the trachea, their throats, meaning they were still breathing when they were set on fire. Regarding the decapitation of babies, the Israel Center for Forensic Medicine showed that although the circumstances were quote-unquote difficult to ascertain whether the babies' heads were decapitated before or after death, they were certain they were beheaded, although they could not confirm the heads were not blown off by an RPG. Now, this, I'm here, so I'm not, I don't know, this was a press conference attended by many members of the press who were moved, some to tears. Many had to leave the room. Has there been much reporting on this, Gary?
Well, Tom, first, thank you for that report. I know there is much more that you could have said. I know you have to get back on your volunteer work supporting the Israeli Defense Forces. But in answer to your question, unbelievably, I saw almost no reports in the major U.S. media describing the atrocities that were done by Hamas to 1,400 people. In fact, there are still people, some very powerful people, denying what happened on October 7th. At the same time, here in the United States, we are experiencing an unprecedented hatred of Jews, a growing anti-Semitism that seems to get worse with every day of the war. Now, think about this a second. The current wave of anti-Semitism sweeping through our country is unlike anything that has ever happened in the history of the American Republic from 1776 right up to now. There's nothing that even comes close. Now, in our history, we have some evidence of anti-Semitism that's nothing to be proud of. There were times in America when Jews couldn't get into some country clubs. There was times when Jews couldn't get hired at certain corporations or, believe it or not, admitted to get into certain colleges. All of that was wrong, and all of that was anti-Semitism. But never in our history have we seen hundreds of thousands of people marching in the streets of our major cities in New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, right here in Washington, D.C., marching on our university campuses, some of the finest schools in America, chanting, "Gas the Jews, death to the Jews." Even in the halls of Congress, we have heard disgusting anti-Semitic chants and comments. Never before have we seen mass demonstrations expressing support for the radical Islamist terrorist group Hamas. What in the world is going on? Anti-Semites are tearing down posters of Israeli hostages being held in Gaza. In a lot of places around the country, people wanting to remind their fellow citizens here in the United States about these poor people. It's estimated there are a couple hundred of them, women, children, the elderly, etc. They were taken hostage. They've been dragged back to Gaza. They're being used as human shields. And all the posters say is, remember this couple or remember this child. And right here in the United States, anti-Semites have been caught on video tearing down those posters. Jewish students on university and high school campuses are hiding in fear. Synagogues all over America are telling Jews to hide their identity if they want to make sure they're not attacked by somebody. Major U.S. media embraced a Hamas lie and blamed Israel when a hospital in Gaza was reportedly bombed. They took the word of Hamas, who carried out the massacre on October 7th, over the word of the Israeli government. What's the explanation for this? Well, I think it's a couple of things. First of all, our universities are permeated with anti-Western hatred, anti-Judeo-Christian civilization hatred. They're graduating students who are not only anti-Israel, but students that are anti-American too. Polling shows the lowest level of love for America in the current college-age generation in our country. That's unbelievable. And look, if you don't love America, you're not going to love Israel. Second, we've had a lot of American elites who have fallen for the idea that there's no real differences between cultures, at least not differences that matter. Well, because of that attitude, we've allowed in record levels of immigration, legal and illegal, from third world countries that are permeated with radical Islam. And in many cases, sadly, those immigrants brought with them the hatred of Jews that is so prevalent in the Islamic world. America needs to stop bringing haters of any kind into our country. Now, sadly, these problems are not just in our colleges and universities. Our high schools are infected with this hatred, too. I watched a video of high school students marching through a hallway at their high school chanting, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free," which simply means the complete erasing of the nation of Israel from the map. This is a call for genocide. Imagine being a Jewish student at that high school. A private Jewish high school played a football game in Los Angeles over the weekend. During the game, fans and players of the opposing team shouted anti-Semitic slurs and gave the Nazi salute to the Jewish team in Los Angeles in the United States of America in 2023. There was a silent vigil on a university campus held to honor the 1,400 Jews slaughtered during the October 7th massacre. A silent vigil. But radical pro-Hamas demonstrators showed up chanting pro-Hamas slogans and calling for a second Holocaust. And I don't know, but it appears that this blindness about anti-Semitism and this hatred extends all the way to the White House. Yesterday, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about the rising anti-Semitism in America. Her response was shocking. She claimed there were no credible threats against Jews, while Muslims, and I quote here, have endured a disproportionate number of hate-fueled attacks, end of quote. What is she talking about? That's a lie. Now, look, at JDFI, we condemn all hate, all ethnic slurs, and hate crimes that happen against anyone. But we also face reality here. There are no mobs marching in the streets chanting death to the Muslims. No mosques have been firebombed. No imams are getting death threats. No Muslim students are telling reporters they feel frightened on their own college campuses. Those things are all happening to American Jews. And as fortune would have it, the FBI just released its latest update on hate crimes. Jews in America are 7 times more likely to be the victims of religiously motivated hate crimes than are Muslims. I repeat, there shouldn't be hate crimes against anybody, Jews or Muslims or anyone else. But let's face the reality of what's happening. I can't forget, I won't forget, that from day one of the current administration, President Biden took steps, multiple steps, to ensure that the mullahs of Iran got billions and billions of dollars. This is the same country, Iran, that regularly promises to kill all the Jews. Well, we're in for a long struggle here, my friends. Israel's in for a long struggle. We all know, and we're all concerned, and we're all praying about where is it going next. No one knows. But in the meantime, we can take courage. We can take courage from our faith. We also have a responsibility as Christians to fight against anti-Semitism. I urge you again to not only pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but to reach out to your Jewish neighbors and friends. I've done that personally in my own neighborhood, and I've been, quite frankly, shocked at how much it meant to my Jewish neighbors to do that. Neighbors that I disagree with on many things political, nonetheless, their hearts were touched when I reached out to them. I urge you to do the same thing. Go to your local synagogue. Offer to volunteer there. Offer to help in any way with security or other concerns they may have. Do these things because we are Christians and we are directed to love God's covenant people, the Jews. Well, thanks for being with us on the James Dobson Family Institute, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. We'll be back with you next week.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.